Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Well, it was only a matter of time, and now here we are. Time to talk about a roguelike. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Cytanium Mine, where today I am realizing that there's a certain genre that I keep ending up playing, and I never know why, but here we are again. I think it's actually fitting that I talk about this particular one on this show, because it takes place in a mine! Just like this! Who knows, maybe it's the same one, I haven't really explored deeper. But it's called Undermine. The idea behind Undermine is pretty straightforward. You play a series of peasants. These peasants are outfitted with a pick and a bag on their back and a song in their heart and a hope that is going to be extinguished very quickly once they dive down a hole into the mines of the title. What happens after that is going through a series of levels where you have to battle monsters, avoid traps, and mine for a bunch of gold. The reason that you need gold in this game is, simply put, in order for you to get upgrades after your peasant dies. Yeah, so let me explain how that whole thing works. Basically, the setup is that your little peasant, who has like a random name, random look, goes down into this mine, and they're picking away at gold, and they have a certain amount of life, and they have to pick up different things like blessings. Sometimes they get curses. They get special items that help them along their way. Maybe they'll find food, and it will help regenerate them. Maybe they'll find, like, the curse monster. You'll end up in a little pit where this demon basically says, well, you know, you can have a trade here, and I'll give you, like, a random curse, but here's also something beneficial for you. It's different, really, every time you go down into these mines. The general idea is that you kind of want to get as much gold as you possibly can, because eventually your peasant will die. There's just really no avoiding it. And when that peasant does die, your little friend, who starts out as a canary, will be able to salvage some, but not all, of your gold. And then the gold that the canary is able to salvage goes back up to the surface and is utilized by the next rando peasant that comes into play to buy different upgrades, sometimes so that you hold on to more gold after you leave the mine, to increase your pick strength, to increase your health, and how long potions last, etc., etc. And this is actually a mechanic in the game. This is really where the rogue-like, or really more rogue-lite, per se. Let's get into that for just a second. Rogue-like means that, basically, you don't get anything for running through the game. Like, you go as far as you can, and you fail, it's over, back to the start with you. Randomly generated level again, now figure it out again, maybe you'll have better luck this time. Rogue lights, which is really what Undermine is, actually do give you some amount of progress or things that make you better after every run. Sometimes you unlock things, sometimes in this particular case you also save different characters that then are able to set up shop outside of the mine. And you just try not to think too much about why you can never seem to exit the mine, but all the characters you save are able to get up to the surface no problem. Try not to think about that logic. So this is really a roguelite, which is definitely preferable for me, and maybe the reason why I was willing to stick with it for a while. In terms of combat, you do have the ability to jump, which is very useful because it kind of supplants the dodge that a lot of systems usually have, and that's kind of useful because I never found dodging mechanics to work as well as I wanted them to. But jump, I can get my head around that. I jump, I avoid an attack if it comes underneath me. Perfect. I also like the idea that your main weapon is your pick. It's not just used to, you know, chip away at valuable resources. What you get to do with it is use it as an offensive weapon, and you even get the ability, which is pretty cool, to use it as a ranged weapon. It, like, you can swing it like a boomerang, and then it returns to you. The only problem with that is that aiming is not, not good. It's really hard to figure out your targeting and your trajectory, and there is no lock-on feature for enemies, which in a frenetic game like this, it would have really been helpful. And trust me, there is going to be a point where there's just so much happening on screen that you cannot wrap your brain around what is happening at the moment. There's just tons of projectiles, tons of enemies, and it doesn't happen right out of the gate, but it will happen at a certain point where you just kind of go, I just walked into the room and there was no way. And then the doors closed behind me because it's actually set up kind of like a Zelda dungeon where you have individual rooms, but then the monsters that are in there kind of end up, you have to deal with them before you can leave the room. You can't just leave the room while the monsters are still there. There's not really a running away option in this game. You either deal with the monsters or you die. That's pretty much the way it works. This is a little annoying just because I really would like the option of retreating and coming back later, especially because I don't get save points and I don't get do-overs, and I'm going to have to start back at the beginning with a brand new peasant and lose a bunch of my money if I fail. This is especially difficult when you get to the boss battles that are at the end of each one of the sections. And the first one that I encountered, really the only one that I encountered with the time that I was spending with it, was the giant centipede creature, which I took a couple runs at, and the only way I was able to defeat it was with some bombs, which are usually very scarce, and I just happened to go through a run where I had a good number with me, and that I was able to get a last hit on this centipede named Celt when I had, like, one hit point left. It was that close. And if I had failed that time, I probably would have lost my damn mind. But I didn't. And I was able to move on to the next section, which, of course, then just gets even more ludicrous. And not being able to retreat from those situations, not being able to, like, walk away and maybe try again, is very frustrating. I did not like that kind of aspect to it. And it would have been nice if I had a little bit more leeway to retreat or to back off further and regroup. But you really don't get that in this game, probably because it's not built that way. It is very much trying to be a rogue game, and so you kind of put up or shut up. Some of the neat things that it does, though, with that format is, you know how I said that it's kind of the Zelda dungeon, and it is, but they do some neat stuff with it. For instance, maybe there's a chest on the other side of the room, and maybe it's locked and you might have a key. Maybe you don't have a key and you can't unlock it, but maybe there's another way to do that. Maybe there's actually some bricks in the way, and if you had a bomb, you might be able to blow up the bricks and get to the chest. There's also some neat stuff where there's a bunch of hidden passageways, different sections of wall where you could actually blow them up, or blow up blocks that lead to, like, special little rooms down below. And there's some really neat stuff that goes on in that to make you explore every nook and cranny. Assuming, of course, that you have enough bombs or keys to do that, which, again, since this is a very random game, you might not get them at all. I had several times where I went through this, and maybe I got, like, 6 or 7 bombs. Maybe I had tons of bombs, you know, and I was tight on bombs. But then I didn't have any keys, and of course, then I needed keys to open doors to get to the other stuff. And so, obviously, I was just not able to do the thing that I really wanted to do, and that can be very frustrating. Later on in the game, there is a shop where you can buy some of those items before you go on your run, but you don't get to keep them when you die and go back up to the surface. It does not keep any of your bombs or keys, like other stuff like that. You lose all of that too when you die. The problem with the game really becomes how brutal the stuff in it is. For instance, like rats will attack you for what is, at the beginning of your game, practically a tenth of your health. We're talking like a normal rat. We're not talking like mother of rats. We're talking just a rat. If it gets a hit on you, that's what it's going to do. Meanwhile, your pick is going to take a few swings, few thwacks, to actually take out a regular rat. Good luck when you start getting to the bats with, like, the sonar rays that are, like, as far as I can tell, practically impossible to dodge. Or the fact that it kind of uses Mega Man rules where certain elements of a level you can have attacks pass through, and then certain other ones you can't. And until you really learn which blocks will actually stop a ranged attack, you might be surprised, like, oh, I'm going to hide behind this block. Oh, no, that didn't do anything. Now I'm on fire. And then there's all the environmental things, like, oh, yeah, fire and poison, where you are going to now take damage over time the second you get hit with it. And this is just practically a death sentence. Like, you get set on fire, and you can eventually put it out. Like, it will go out, but by that time, it's taken down practically half of your health bar. You can expand your health bar, obviously, but there are just enemies that hit you for so much damage. And then, just to add insult to injury, you have the problem of, like, spikes and pits. Literally just pits, that if you happen to wander into the pit, again, 20 hit points, boom, right off of the top. And for the record, just to give you an idea of what your health bar looks like, you start at, like, 200 health. And every time you upgrade your health, you upgrade by 20 points. So basically, one fall down a miscellaneous pit is going to shave off as much health for you as one upgrade. I frankly find that to be just a little much. Spikes are also the same thing. You hit a spike, it takes off 20 points of your health. And so this can become very frustrating because you could end up in rooms where there are no monsters, but you're still going to get yourself killed off just because of the way the room is laid out. I found that there were a few artifacts that were very useful if you happened to be able to pick them up. One, there's a spike stomper boots so that you can literally just run over spikes and break them. And then there was also like the floaty boots where you will just levitate over pits so you can't die from falling damage and you don't fall at all anyway. You do find these cool artifacts, and they will do a wide variety of things, and they can be incredibly useful. And so it is interesting to see what happens every time you go through a run, and you might start feeling like, you know, depending on whether the Undermine gods like you or not, you are getting on a real groove during one of your runs until you hit that room where there's just, like, the druids and sorcerers, and then everything is on fire. And there's a bunch of poison toads just heading your way and constantly poisoning you, and there's no way for you to regenerate any health. And you don't have any potions, and you have no other way out of it, and you realize, oh, damn it. Well, okay, I'm screwed. I'm just screwed. Back up to the top you go. There's a point where you start to feel like there's not really any progress you can make. It's around that time that I stop playing, because I just don't want to anymore. I'm not getting enough gold. I keep losing gold every time this happens, no matter how much I try to expand my capacity for, you know, holding on, retaining gold, and I'm not really able to do much for upgrades. And if I can't afford the upgrades because I keep losing all that gold, then I get into a holding pattern where I'm really not getting anywhere. And so it's around that point where you realize that this has a lot less to do with skill and a lot more to do with luck. And sometimes, no matter how skilled you are, the luck is going to weigh out all of your other options. And that's really Undermine's biggest problem. It's not that it isn't a fun enough game, but it does have that issue where it feels more random than anything. A problem with roguelikes altogether. Maybe it's the reason why I'm not a huge fan of them, even though I do end up playing quite a few. So you might understand why I'm going to have a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek response to giving you alternatives to Undermine, because I would have to talk about other roguelites. And there are a couple that come to mind. Actually, the closest correlation to this, and I kept thinking about it while I was playing the game, was Rogue Legacy, because that is also very similar in tone and structure. You go through a series of these rooms, which are very similar to a Castlevania or Metroid style, where you start out as this one character in a lineage and you get gold, and then when you die, the gold gets transferred back to your offspring, the next in your line, and they go into the dungeon to see if they can get any further, and they can use that gold to do upgrades and all of that. I did like stuff about Rogue Legacy, though. If we're looking at what it did better than Undermine, instead of having the random peasant that's always the same thing, every time you have the next generation in the lineage, you get to choose one of three options, and those essentially have their own individual quirks to them that allow you to sometimes really engage with the castle that you're going into in different ways, and that really made it feel like a little bit more of a personal experience. You also don't lose gold. You basically hold on to your gold, but you do need to use some so that you can re-enter the dungeon. So there is that, but I thought that the problem with Rogue Legacy is very similar to this one, which is that sometimes the platforming elements are frustrating, and you do get so much life shaved off of you. So I don't know if you're going to have a much better experience with Rogue Legacy than you did with Undermine. The other one that really came to mind was one I played more recently, which was Streets of Rogue. And that's also a top-down game that has a lot of very random elements. What you get out of that is every time you go through a run, you might end up unlocking a lot of different options and abilities and other characters that you can play, which allows you to go through the game in new and interesting ways. And of course, the best thing for you to eventually unlock is the zombie, because once you get into zombie mode and you can just turn every level into your own personal zombie army, that's pretty great. It is actually a lot of fun, and it is so random, you just get used to the sheer wackiness of it, because it is incredibly bonkers. And I would say that if you're looking for a rogue light that has come out in the last few years, I would really take a look at Streets of Rogue, just because it's almost so off the wall that you can't help but enjoy it. Like, they all share some similar problems, like just winding up with one unfair enemy that, you know, might be a laser death bot, or just a pit of spikes. And then it just kind of ruins your whole experience on the run. But they do have a certain amount of charm to them as well, which might be the reason why I'm always willing to try new ones. I just always seem to feel let down by the experience in the end. All right, everyone, I guess this was just me ranting about roguelikes for a little bit. On the next episode, though, I think we're going to do something completely different. Completely different. Which is going to be a nice change of pace for me, especially. And will allow me to talk about another kind of game that I haven't really gotten a chance to yet. So that'll be fun. Until then, though, I actually don't have a minecart anymore. You can only go further down into the mine. But don't worry, if you get lost and happen to die down in the mines, another willing listener will randomly appear at the top of this mine and will be able to continue your journey. This is purgatory. Basically, this is purgatory. You can never really leave. Welcome to Hotel California. Alright, I don't have a rope to get you down there. You're going to have to just jump down the pit. Just jump down the pit. There you go. I'm going to stand way back here. Okay. Bye. Oh. Clean up on level 2.